This is there that if we do some good to someone, then do we get the good karma to take which we'll have to take birth again?
Yeah.
That is one way of looking at it. And there's another way also. Now we see that ultimately what will take us to Krishna or what will stop our rebirth is the softness of our heart, the attraction of our heart towards Krishna. So when Radhanath Maharaj asked this in Chaupati, he said that you should always keep food with you, keep some prasad. And in India, on the streets, a lot of beggars are always there, the signal. So he says, give some prasad to them. And he says, if you don't have prasad, then give money.
Give money.
He said, give money. And he said, by that, what will happen? Next time, you will remember to keep prasad with you. So he says, keep prasad with you and give it. So his point was that if somebody is in need and if we say no to them, that causes a hardness of the heart. And Krishna cannot appear in a hard heart.
Our heart
becomes hard when somebody in need whom we can help and we don't help. So as far as helping others is concerned, there is my understanding would be that there are devotees of different natures and each devotee will have their own interests, and that comes from one's past upbringing, one's past culture, one's own inspiration. So some devotees may just be satisfied with just go to the temple, chant, dance and be happy. That's fine. Some devotees may be in environmental consciousness. You know, we have to be eco-friendly, we have to be green. Well, you could also say that we're doing good karma of planting, of sowing seeds to build plants. That can also give us karma again, isn't it? That is also good karma. We'll get the reaction of good karma. So, we could, if you want to really extrapolate, you know, I build a mango tree and tomorrow some thief eats a mango from that tree. I'll get the karma for that. So, should we not build trees then? Should we not have eco-friendly communities? Or we could take it further. We build, you know, we create even a devotional facility and somebody abuses that in future. Are we going to get the karma for that? See, karma, in my understanding, is logical. Karma is not diabolical. Diabolical means, you know, just, you know, somewhere something we did, it had a bad consequence, and that's why you want to go to court and be punished for that. It doesn't work like that. One point is we should be conscious. Say, if we give money to a drunkard and that person uses it to drink more, and then they go and beat up their family members, then it's not a good thing to do. But it's certainly short-sighted. But even in ordinary legal system, you know, if say a grown-up son or son of someone commits a crime, whatever they commit a crime, it's not that the parents are held responsible for that. Mm. And the child, when it's a child, the parents are responsible. The parents may feel morally responsible. The parents are not legally responsible. So we are all interconnected with our relations and through our various connections. But karma is not that somewhere something we do, it did something wrong and that's why we are going to get the karmic result. It's not, karma is logical. So if our legal system is not going to hold us responsible for something which an adult son has done, then it's not that the cosmic system is flawless. And one part of our philosophy is also people have free will. So if I do something with good intention and then somebody misuses it, then I'm not responsible for that. But if I know that they are likely to misuse it, say if a father knows that the son is hot-headed and the son is given to streaks of violence, and then the father has a gun and the father keeps a gun freely accessible to someone, then you can say the father is culpable. Whether they're legally culpable or not, that we'll have to see according to law codes. But I would say that if we know somebody likely to misuse something, then being aware and not giving them facility to further misuse, that is important. But there are many forms of charity which cannot be misused. Mm-hmm. Giving food cannot be misused. Even clothes cannot be misused. What are you going to do with clothes actually? You sell them and get some money. You can do that. But otherwise, if they don't sell, but I would say giving money can be misused. Giving support for education, that also is not so easy to misuse that. So the point where I'm leading to is that different devotees will have different inspirations in the spiritual life. And that inspiration may come from their past. So some devotees, if they have a zeal for charity, social welfare activities, for them, they should do it. To stop them will be artificial. But at the same time, two things have to be careful. One has to be careful. That while one does it, one doesn't feel superior. That I am doing it, all of you are not doing it. And one doesn't make others feel inferior. You know, you don't understand this. You don't understand this. So basically, all of us can have, we could say, within devotion, we can have our own passion. Of what we feel inspired to do. Now, it is fortunate if we have a passion. I sometimes say that we talk about there are so many souls who are lost in the material world. But actually, there are many souls who are lost in ISKCON also. That means what? They are in ISKCON, but they don't know what I'm meant to do in ISKCON. The ultimate goal is to love Krishna. But what do I do right now? They don't know. They do this service, do that service, and sooner or later, they get into this gossip, that gossip, this thing, that thing. So if we have a passion in devotion, this is how I want to contribute. That is a fortune. That is a blessing.
So it will not come in the way of...
Now let me complete this. So further if you say that what I was saying is, with respect to practical dealing, if I have a passion, that is good. But if I impose my passion on others and judge them because they don't have their passion, it becomes a problem. And that is what almost everyone does. It's very difficult. If somebody has environmental consciousness and anybody who is not having green consciousness, they will condemn them. If somebody is building temples and they go to a place where there's not a big temple, they say, what are you doing? Somebody is distributing books. They say, well, you don't distribute books. What service are you doing? So if we have his interest for social service, we can do that. But we do it in a devotional way. We spiritualize it. Now, as far as getting karma is concerned, I think it has to be very carefully understood. So I was talking with Radhanath Maharaj about this. Some devotee who was initiated had stopped practicing bhakti. And also not only stopped practicing, he also started breaking the regulative principles and doing something. So, now this devotee had been brought to Krishna consciousness by a disciple of Maharaj, who is known to be a little strict. So you say, you know, he's doing such terrible things. You know, Maharaj, you will get the karma, I'll get the karma. We all have to stop him from doing this. So Maharaj said, don't talk about karma at all. Maharaj says, put karmic consideration aside. Just think at this pace, at this point, what is it that will best help him come back to Krishna? Mm-hmm. Whether it is chastisement, or whether it is affection, or whether it is some practical facility you have to provide. Just don't think about karma at all. Just think about how to encourage him from where he is towards Krishna. Now, if we get into karma, we can become very heartless. We can become very heartless. So, I was with one devotee. That is, this karma, I feel it has to be very carefully understood. So, devotee, his son had gone into some business, son was not practicing bhakti, and gone into some business where some regulative principle was being broken or something like that. Maybe he was working as a musician in a bar or something like that. I don't know. So he was almost paranoid, you know, will all that karma come to me? And father was saying, will all that karma come to me? And then he was telling his father, so he was forcing his son, give this, my son was not interested in giving it up at all. And then the karma consideration was primarily coming in the way of their relationship. So then I think karma is better focus on the relationship, and karma will be eventually taken care of. That way, how much karma we do already?
Everything
we do.
Why are we nice to people? If you're nice to someone, or you give them a gift or something, whatever, you know, that's not always just done purely in devotional consciousness. Sometimes you're doing it to be nice to people, or you're doing a nice thing for someone. That's also developing karma. Everything that people do develops good or bad karma.
It's what devotee was saying, that many congregation devotees sometimes go for movies, watch cricket matches, and all this. He's telling that if I go and I watch a movie, or take my children and family to watch a movie, nobody will criticize me. But if I go and do some philanthropic activity, people will criticize me. So our values have got skewed up, you know. So in one sense, what happens is, when we do something like say, watching a movie or going for some Disneyland or a sports match or whatever, you know, we understand that the moment understand that we cannot control people. If people have certain desires, then Krishna is primarily an inspirational movement. So people will practice at whatever level they can. So somehow we accommodate that, saying that this is their conditioning, this is their attachment, this is their need. But some people may also have a need to do social service.
Mm.
But then we don't acknowledge that as a need.
Mm.
We feel, okay, why are you doing this? Don't do it.
So,
Well, okay.
So could it be that